Welcome to China Watch with the Epoch Times. I'm your host, Terry Wu. For a competitive person, what could produce more joy than beating the competition and bathing in a hard-earned victory? That's what I perceived while watching President Donald Trump sign the stablecoin bill into law on July 18th.
It's a very important act, the Genius Act. They named it after me, and I want to thank you.
I know different sides of the aisle will interpret that as either narcissism or bravado, but one thing was for sure, he was very pleased. Here's one very important reason why.
China wasn't actually happy they were watching this.
The Genius Act, also known as the Guiding and Establishing National Innovation for U.S. Stablecoins Act, defines stablecoins as a means of payment or settlement and establishes a federal regulatory framework for them. Basically, that means cryptocurrencies are going to be mainstream for paying for things. Perhaps in the future, you'll have a credit card that pays in dollars and another one that pays in crypto. All permitted issuers will have to back their issuance with either cash or U.S. Treasury bonds. In this episode, we'll discuss why this Genius Act puts the CCP on the defensive and why Trump may be the nemesis of Chinese leader Xi Jinping. That is not wishful thinking. It's the result of an analysis, and we will provide the reasoning behind it. So make sure you stay until the end. In our last episode titled The Evolving Trade War, a new battlefield opens between U.S. and China, I said that both the United States and China have moved on from tariffs, which were still settling but wouldn't change the trajectory of the trade war. The new battlefield is between the currencies, the renminbi, also known as the Chinese yuan, versus the U.S. dollar. That's because, despite the intimidating power of the U.S. military, the actual linchpin of America's leadership in the world is U.S. dollar supremacy. The technical one-sentence summary of that is, maintaining the dollar's status as the world's reserve currency allows the United States to continue borrowing money at a lower interest rate. The U.S. national debt is approaching $37 trillion. Last year's interest payment alone surpassed defense spending. That degree of leveraging is a critical weakness for the United States, something which the CCP, or Chinese Communist Party, is well aware of. Trump summarized the importance of the dominance of the U.S. dollar at a cabinet meeting on July 8th.
If we lost the world standard dollar, that would be like losing a war, a major world war. We would not be the same country any longer. We're not going to let that happen.
Until recently, China appeared to be on the offensive, proactively building up its currency while the United States was on the defensive, sinking into deeper and deeper debt. China has led the BRICS bloc, which is designed to counter the U.S.-led Global North democracies, in building a Chinese yuan-based trade system to challenge the U.S. dollar. Although the renminbi accounts for less than 5% of global transactions in the U.S.-led payment system, Beijing has developed its own payment system and has doubled the transaction volume over the past 4 years. I asked China expert Alex Liao why the CCP continued to work on it when the chance of the renminbi replacing the U.S. dollar seemed remote. He told me that the CCP has been accustomed to making efforts for decades, if not even 100 years. Replacing the U.S. dollar with this currency is a strategic direction of the CCP, and remains so. According to Alex, the CCP views the two pillars of the U.S. hegemony as the U.S. military and the dollar. Prevailing over either will significantly undermine the U.S.'s global leadership. However, the Genius Act has turned the tables on this and put the CCP on the defensive. Before we talk about why, let's briefly cover what stablecoins are. And I know there exist concerns about security for individual privacy around these coins, but I'm going to keep the focus on how they're used in the context against the CCP. Stablecoins are privately issued digital money. Before the enactment of the law, the vast majority of circulating stablecoins were pegged to US dollars at a 1-to-1 ratio and could be converted back at any time. Users are given the option of a decentralized, cost-effective digital currency while maintaining the stability of a traditional fiat currency, hence the name of stablecoins. The Genius Act requires all issuers permitted to issue stablecoins to U.S. persons to peg their digital money to U.S. dollars, cash, or treasury bonds. Therefore, what the law has done is extend U.S. dollar supremacy from the physical world to the digital world. In addition, the United States has basically created a whole new market of creditors. They can hold U.S. debt at a level comparable to the holders of China and Japan, the two largest holders of U.S. debt. Both own about $1 trillion of U.S. Treasury bonds. That may happen by the end of 2028, according to a report by the Treasury Borrowing Advisory Committee in April. That's why Trump said the following at the signing ceremony of the Genius Act.
This will increase demand for U.S. Treasuries, lower interest rates, and secure the dollar's status as the world's reserve currency for generations to come.
There's more. How does that affect the renminbi? One of the draws to crypto for people in China is moving money out of the country that might not be possible otherwise. Beijing knows that too, so it has tightened its control. For example, on July 18th, state-owned media reported a case in Shanghai involving 6.5 billion yuan, or approximately $900 million, of, quote, using stablecoins as a medium for illegal foreign exchange, end quote. The article didn't mention what the sentencing was, but said, quote, such behavior facilitates the cross-border flow of illegal funds and poses a threat to national financial security. And a thing to keep in mind is every Chinese person is limited to exchanging renminbi to 50,000 US dollars per year. That artificial threshold is the reason people seek alternative means of moving money out of China. However, what if people use their $50,000 per year quota to buy stablecoins and then use the stablecoins to buy and sell goods? That would reduce the demand for the Chinese yuan. Alex said, quote, in theory, renminbi could become zero. In other words, Trump has flipped the tables on the CCP. While the regime wanted to undermine the USD, now all of a sudden, instead, the renminbi space is at stake. In the past, it was only a matter of how long it would take the renminbi to expand. But now, with increased ease of access to the dollar, the demand for yuan may weaken even further. And of course, the U.S. dollar-based stablecoins are going to expand the dollar supremacy manifold. That is a very dangerous future for the CCP, said Alex. Today, physical assets still dominate total global wealth. However, digital assets may surpass real-world assets in the 2030s. Let me tell you why. With stablecoins, a real dollar is essentially converted into a digital token that functions as a coin. Such tokenization of real assets and the enablement of transacting real assets in decentralized digital money is a big trend. Estimates of how popular that tokenization are broad, to say the least. The tokenization of cash and securities holdings is estimated to reach between $2 trillion and $4 trillion by 2030, according to a report by McKinsey and Company. That same estimate is $16 trillion by the Boston Consulting Group, and it's $30 trillion to $50 trillion by the Security Token Market, a research firm that tracks the tokenization of real-world assets. You may say, gee, Terry, the numbers you quote are all over the place. Which one is correct? Well, they may all be wrong. However, what I take away from these estimates is that the tokenization of real-world assets has huge potential. To put $50 trillion in context, the U.S. government's GDP last year was about $30 trillion. So according to Alex, the next 5 years are crucial. And the Genius Act has converted the U.S. dollar to the Earth dollar, or the money of the planet. In Alex's view, the Earth dollar has the potential to render the renminbi irrelevant to global trade. Here's Trump again at the signing ceremony of the Genius Act.
The Genius Act creates a clear and simple regulatory framework to establish and unleash the immense promise of dollar-backed stable coins. This could be perhaps the greatest revolution in financial technology since the birth of the Internet itself.
By contrast, the digital yuan China's central bank rolled out in 2020 has gained no traction. Even though 261 million digital wallets had been registered by the beginning of 2022, the average size of the wallets was 3 yuan, or less than 50 cents, for individuals, and less than $5 for corporate ones, according to the Atlantic Council, a Washington-based think tank. Uh-oh, the communist regime in China is in deep water. Forget about replacing the U.S. dollar. The CCP has to defend the renminbi's base. It's slightly over 4% of global payments. However small it is, it faces the danger of approaching zero. Another thing has become clear with the Genius Act, a thing which has led to many prominent figures in Silicon Valley changing their support to Trump during the election last year. Without U.S. policy support, they will miss the bandwagon of digital assets, and they won't be able to keep their wealth in the long run. Here's Trump speaking to the CEOs of major cryptocurrency companies and other future issuers of stable coins on July 18th.
You've made our dollar look really good and strong and powerful. It's good for the dollar and it's good for the country. And that's why I backed you at an early stage. And I also did it for the votes because you did come out and vote. I will tell you.
I know I still owe you the analysis of Trump being Xi's nemesis. That's next. You're listening to China Watch, where you'll go to source for U.S.-China analysis. So follow the show. You and I both know this is a five-star show, but leave a rating so everyone else can discover us. Tell your friends that we're on Apple. Search for China Watch Epic Times. This podcast is a weekly production with new episodes every Monday evening. Support independent journalism by subscribing to the Epic Times. Okay, we just talked about how, with the Genius Act, Trump has busted Xi's dream of ending U.S. dollar supremacy and even put Xi on the defensive. Gone is the hope of replacing the U.S. dollar with the renminbi after decades of work. There's now an imminent danger of losing renminbi's existing base, however small it is. During the past decades, the CCP has set an established way for dealing with America. The CCP style has been taking advantage of everything unapologetically and in a dominant way, Alex told me. They don't follow any rules and exploit the baseline decency of Western culture. But who is someone in America that knows how to handle that kind of business relationship? Haha, yes, that's Trump. Alex and I laughed over this and agreed that New Yorkers have a great capacity for understanding the mainland Chinese mind. Business deals can be like battlefields. The historical concerns of organized crime and the symbolic New Yorker knows how to handle the toughest customers. In one of our past episodes titled The Art of the CCP Deal, Chris Balding, a Chinese expert with the Henry Jackson Foundation, said watching The Godfather is the best way to learn about the behavior patterns of the CCP. The reason? Though the CCP takes the form of the ruling government of China, it functions with very little dissimilarity from a cartel, a gang, or a mafia. Guess who has deep knowledge about dealing with the mafia? Yep, Trump. New York City's real estate and construction used to be permeated by the mafia families in the 1970s and 1980s. In 1988, the New York State Organized Crime Task Force issued a report to the then New York governor. I quote, "The picture that emerges is one of long-standing pervasive corruption and racketeering, touching virtually every phase of the construction process and dominated by the operation of criminal syndicates, end quote. And Trump built his real estate empire during the same time. He didn't specifically mention mafia organizations in his book, The Art of the Deal. But given how powerful the mafias were in New York City back then, it would have been impossible for him to achieve his accomplishments without finding a way to handle the mafias effectively. Now, that experience seems to be relevant training for his current job, one of the most consequential success criteria for a U.S. president, maybe how he is able to deal with China, because the communist regime in China is the biggest threat to the United States. Let's quote Deng Xiaoping. Regardless of whether a cat is black or white, a cat that can catch mice is a good cat. That's my translation. You're welcome. So just like I talked about, Trump turning the tables on the CCP with the Genius Act, I'm going to do a variation of that sentence myself. Regardless of whether a president has a pleasant personality or a coarse personality, a U.S. president who can defeat the Chinese Communist Party is a good one. Let me leave you with this final thought. Because Trump said that the United States would fight with China, quote, in a very friendly fashion on July 15th, some analysts misinterpreted this as a sign that Trump was backing down because he was losing in the U.S.-China trade war. What would the competitive person we mentioned at the beginning of the episode do after he has secured a victory of long-lasting impact? He would say, now let's be friends. Sounds familiar? After bombing Iran's nuclear sites and causing severe setbacks to Iran's nuclear capacity, Trump said, it's time for peace. That's it for today. Rate us 5 stars so more people can discover the show. I'm Terry Wu. Thanks for listening.